tells us, now there was a Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, that means she was giving to the poor, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, and whom they had washed and laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by, weeping, and showing him the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was still with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a Tanner. Now, if you look at the map, Lydda and Joppa were just to the west of Jerusalem. So he was still within his confines. You know, Peter was still a true Jew. Eh? He was still, later on is when we see that he's able to go to the Gentile house in Caesarea, which is also not too far from Lydda and from Joppa. But as he is in Lydda, he is called to Joppa. Now the Bible tells us of Joppa, of Tabitha, who is also called Dorcas. The Bible says that she had good deeds. She was full of good works and her giving to the poor. And she had all these clothes and garments which she had made and she had given to the poor. And she died. I've always wondered, what is it that why are some people raised from the dead and others are not? And what really is the secret to raising the dead? And it's something that I'm still studying, but there are some things that we see. One is that it needs the presence of either someone who's anointed or someone who's filled with the Spirit of God or a servant of God who has already grown in his consciousness or has grown in the power and has exercised himself in the authority that God has given him, that he not only can heal the sick but can also raise the dead. So I believe it is an anointing that God gives, but it also is not something that is separate from others, but also comes from the point of your relationship with God. So God is not a respecter of persons in that he will not give someone this and he'll not give another one this, but it is more about your desire. The Bible says, eagerly desire the greater gift. So the man that is to raise the dead is required. A second thing that I was saying is that there needs to be faith among the relatives or among the people who want the person to be raised from the dead. And why is that faith necessary? It is that faith that drew the miracle from Peter. Ask yourself, if the person died and they're like, oh yeah, the person has died, let's bury him. Oh, let's bury her. Yes, Dorcas will be buried today. And I believe at a later time she died and they released her. They were like, oh yeah, she we raised her last time. She's gone. Yeah. But the faith of those believers is that they went and put, they washed her, they put her in an upper room, and I'm just thinking of, of every house in their time having this upper room where they would pray or where they would sit as a family. Remember, so many things happen in the upper room. So it's interesting when you see the upper room mentioned there. But they put her in the upper room and they send for Peter immediately. And they went and told him, please do not delay. And I'm sure they told him, of course, Dorcas has died. And so I can imagine Peter is coming, he's praying on the way, and he's thinking about it, and he's meditating on how he's going to raise Tabitha. But apart from the faith, I also see something that it needs a reason. Why do I say that? It's like it takes negotiation or a demand that we can make with the Father, that for this reason, this lady has done this. She deserves to be raised from the dead. Now, Dorcas had done her good works. It's not that her good works that made her a disciple. She was already a disciple because she believed in Christ. And she was already a convert. But you see, there's something that she had done that made the people be so moved that they were like, no, we cannot allow her to go. So that means she was full of good works, and it is this works that necessitated them to call for Peter, and also it also provided a ground that Peter could plead with the Lord that, Lord, for the sake of these people, for the sake of what she has done, are you able to raise her? And God answered Peter. And after he had prayed, I believe there was a point in his spirit where he knew that his prayer was answered. Then he just got up and said, Tabitha, wake up. So one of the things that we see about, our prayer and being spiritual is that at every point we pray, we always have a point where we know God has answered, and you will know it in your spirit. And that point when he knew that God had answered, then he gave the command. Another thing also, as I was giving you my reflections on raising the dead, the other reflection that I see is compassion. And you can think of Jesus when he met the widow's son who had died, and she was the only son of that widow. The Bible says that Jesus was filled with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And he raised, he touched the young man and he came back to life. That is compassion. That this anointed man, or this Jesus who was anointed with the Spirit of God, was moved with compassion and raised the dead. And the other place, of course, also that where we see the raising of the dead comes is for the glory of God. And remember, in Lazarus, Jesus said that this sickness shall not end in death, but it shall be for the glory of God. God, when God is to be glorified. So to put it together, there's compassion that comes, there's faith that comes, there's a reason that why the person should be raised from the dead. And then apart from that, God is glorified. And this is, just a reflection on what I've been looking at. But of course, there may be many other reasons that God will raise someone from the dead. But ideally, what will the kingdom of God benefit from your coming back, or from or how will people believe in the message of God? How will people be saved? How will this sign be a witness to others that God is glorified and God is able to raise the dead? Because our God is a God that calls the things that are not as if they were. But in summary, what I'm trying to say is that God is able and has given each and every one of us the Spirit of God as a deposit. He's given to us he's able to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with power. He's able to anoint us with power. The more we spend time with him, the more we engage time with him, and the more we sow to the Spirit, the Bible says it, we call it sowing to the Spirit. He that sows to the flesh will reap corruption and death, but he that sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life and will reap, you know, will reap eternal life and the things that pertain to that. So the challenge still lies with us. Are we ready to pay the price? Are we ready to die to self and to be filled completely with all the measure of the fullness of God and be available to be used by God? As we continue to desire all this and continue to engage ourselves, then the Lord himself fills us and enables us and gives us the grace and the ability to do all this. I will stop there for now, and I pray that God speaks to us in different ways from what we have listened. So I'll welcome you, my sister, if you have any reflections.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
I'd never imagined that Acts, the book of Acts, was this loaded, you know. it's very enriching to know. So I actually picked quite a number of things.
Mm.
Number one was the fact that you mentioned it, that the way Peter was performing miracles, even some of the terms he was using were very similar to what Jesus had used. Even remember the young girl, the 12-year-old, you know, there was actually said, arise, and then he would tell maybe someone, take up your mat, and you know.
Yeah.
So you can see that their staying with Jesus was not just about proximity. Mm. Yeah. They allowed it was not just that they were with him, but they allowed him, you know, to transform them.
Mm.
They were learning from him. They and as they carried on, they actually imitated him. Mm. And we even see that's where they got the name Christians, because they were behaving just like he was behaving. Yeah. So I think it just points out that these people really studied Jesus. These people really learned of him, you know. And sometimes I think with church and also being, you know, maybe serving at church, we get so used to the routine and the motion that we are not allowing ourselves to actually learn, you know.
Mm.
You just come to church, you're up and down, you're serving, you tick the box, you've attended Sunday service, but that transformation has not really happened. But we can see from the life of the early disciples that they were with him, they were doing ministry with him, but it did not just stop at face value. The other thing you mentioned about faith, there's somewhere in the book of Hebrews that tells us that by faith women brought back their dead to life. So I think, and I think that's why, okay, sometimes I feel like pastors overdo it, but I think sometimes that is why when pastors, maybe they want to preach, they want to perform some miracles, you see them try to stir the faith of people. They share about what God has done in Christ, so that maybe people's faith can be stirred up. Because I'm assuming that the friends of Tabitha, they just stay crying. And also, if you remember the Shunammite woman, that was widowed, and Elisha prophesied she was going to have a son, and you know, there was that faith in her that knew that, okay, this was not over.
Yes.
So I think there are some times that God can walk solely on the power of his minister, but I think there are also some times where the power of the minister has to mix with the faith of the people that did that miracle.
Yes.
Yeah. And the last thing, sorry, the last thing is, you had mentioned that Tabitha was a good person, and you know, she had done some works. Yet it's not we are not justified by works. Mm. But I remember listening to a sermon by Apostle Elsai, and he was talking about the fact that the spiritual realm is very legalistic.
Mm.
So sometimes you need to present your course.
Mm-hmm.
And if you also remember the time in Jude where Angel Michael said, "The Lord rebuke you."
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a hierarchy. There's, and even if you look at some of the words, one of the words that Jesus is described by, the Bible calls him our, I've even forgotten the word. There's that legal term that it says that he's before God defending us. It means defending us, yeah?
The advocate, yeah.
Yeah, so as our advocate, thank you. So the spiritual world is very legalistic.
Mm.
There's sometimes when, like even if you also remember the story of Job, you know, when it was there that God had built an edge around him.
Mm.
So sometimes we need to present our cause. You know, that to show that, you know, I am worthy of this. Maybe you present the blood of Jesus that God has already, you know. So there's some, and maybe in the case of Tabitha, her good works was one of the things that was presented, that allowed her case, you know, to be overturned, and she was brought back to life. Yeah, so sorry.
No,
those are my, I think I need to go back and read the Book of Acts, and I know there are so many things to learn from this.
No, that's powerful and very great reflections. You know, it's in simple terms, the finished works of Christ bring us to salvation, bring us to the kingdom of God.
Mm.
And it's a very big topic, but what I will say is this: there is what Christ has done, and that is in its place, and no one can ever do that again. But then now, when you enter into the kingdom of God, then different rules apply. I don't know how it's just the easiest way I can say that. To get to God, it is only Christ. To enter into the kingdom of God, it is only Christ. But then when you are in the kingdom of God, then you realize that there is someone who is least in the kingdom of God. There's someone who is great in the kingdom of God. So in terms of the equality that God equalizes us to enter the kingdom of God, we are all the same. But then from that crossover, then now we start to differentiate. Why? Because of our desire, our engaging, our seeking the Lord. Because now God is no longer, he can no longer be unjust. He can't put you at the same place, in that someone has died for the gospel. Someone has spent all these days fasting, praying, interceding for the gospel, you know, reaching out to the lost. And then this other person is just enjoying, basking in the glory of God. I'm going to heaven, doing nothing, not doing anything. You two cannot be the same, because God is never unfair. So just maybe you can reflect on that. When you cross over into the kingdom of God, different rules apply. To come to the kingdom of, to enter the kingdom of God, all of us are the same, and we come by Christ. And that's what you see even in the apostles. All of them were filled with the Spirit. But it's not all that were with Jesus. It's all who waited and tarried. Then after those who tarried also, there was further differentiation. Based on the capital, the investment that they spent with the Father. And this is the place where it's no longer your effort, but you must learn what grace is, but you must also know that is this grace that also enables you. It's a grace that works in you. So it's a grace-empowered desire and work towards God that grows you in the kingdom of God. Yeah, so it's massive, but it's something that once you understand that, then you will no longer be lazy. You know, when the Bible says, "Do not be slothful," that means, but do not be slothful, but be imitators of those who, through faith and patience, have inherited the promises. So, there is a lot that as believers we need to grow into, but we must also know that we have a part to play in the kingdom of God. Yeah, and that part is helped by God. And God has already prepared those works in advance for us. There are assignments, there are missions, there are people to be raised from the dead, you know, there are children to be healed, there are sick people to be raised, and all it needs is one of those believers who has entered the kingdom saying, "Lord, here I am, send me." And consecrating themselves and paying the price to be that. Okay, let us pray. That's enough for a morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. Thank you for speaking to us, for revealing to us secrets about your kingdom, things that are hidden to men, but Lord, you have revealed to us as little children, and for that we are grateful. I thank you that, Lord, your hand will be with us. He that does not know you, that, Lord, may you forgive them of their sins. Let them bring them into your kingdom. And even he that is in your kingdom and has not known the responsibility that they have to play, oh God, I pray that you start to work in them as they see the scriptures, as they listen to the scriptures, they start to grow in knowledge, in wisdom, in understanding, and in commitment, and the grace of God to work in them. The Lord, it is for everyone, oh God, and you have called us to desire the greater gifts, oh God. And I pray that, Lord, we will walk in signs, miracles, and wonders. We shall see them in our times, oh God, that we shall be vessels that shall be used for your kingdom and make a difference. I thank you for those that are on the journey, for the travels, oh God, for the various aspects, for the families, for the children, oh God, the Lord, even for the churches, that, Lord, your grace shall continue to rest and be upon us. I pray all this, trusting and believing in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a blessed, blessed day.